Welcome to Raising Happy and Thriving Gifted Kids, a daily podcast where you get relatable stories, interesting lessons, and practical tips to help your kids thrive and be happy while enjoying your own life even more. So to understand how we ended up with IQ, there is actually a philosophical concept that underlies the concept of IQ. Because IQ creates a one-dimensional number where high number is good, low number is bad. There is one type of intelligence, and that is universal. If you have a lot of it, you are, you know, smart or intelligent or gifted. And if you lack it, you are dumb, feeble-minded, as they used to say, or stupid. But that actually, that concept came from a guy called Charles Spearman, who coined the term G, of general intelligence, which is a small letter G. And he said there's a general intelligence that underlies domain-specific intelligences. So if you're good at math, that's because you're generally, you know, you're math smart because you're generally smart. If you're more generally smart, you will not just be math smart, but you also will be language smarter. And that idea of general intelligences had caught up and really got ingrained in the idea of giftedness and IQ. It's just a very limited thought. These days, we look a lot more nuanced at the concept of giftedness and at the concept of, you know, what different forms of intelligence exist and the different part that goes into giftedness. So if you look at different models that have been developed, it started out with Joseph Ranzulli, probably 40, 50 years ago, coming with a triadic model of giftedness. He said, yes, there is this above average ability that you need, but you also need task commitment, so the ability to have sustained focus on one thing, and you need creativity. You need to have the way to think differently, to think outside of the box, to think in different concepts. And if you have those three qualities, above average ability, creativity, and task commitment, that's when you're truly gifted. Well, that was a huge step forward because it was not just IQ, but you needed some other things, which, by the way, you know, even with this triadic model, only one of them is measured in a classical IQ test, which determines giftedness. But after that, more researchers came. Here in Europe, you have Frans Manks, who did research and says it's not just about stuff within the kid, but it's also stuff outside of the kid. So around the triad that Ranzulli curated of creativity, above average ability and intelligence, and task commitment, he said it also has to do with the peers you have. Because if everybody's going to scoff at you doing smart things, then you're probably not going to show them anymore. And your family is going to have a big impact as well. Because if you're coming from an illiterate family, there's going to be a huge difference than when you've come from a highly educated family. And there's a huge difference in your schooling environment. Because if you have a great schooling environment with all, you know, options and things offered to you, then there will be a huge difference in the amount of stuff that will come out of you than when you have none of these things. And I think Ranzulli should have become a politician, because I think he was the one who said that, you know, giftedness is something that shows in some individuals under some circumstances in, you know, some areas under some forms of guidance. Well, if that does not cover all the bases, I don't know what will. But even there, we're not done, because now we've already got six factors, you know, creativity and task commitment and above average ability, but also your peers and your school and your family. But then came, you know, people like Gagné and Heller, who often come up with like four general areas. They talk about some innate ability. Your brain is actually different when you're gifted. But part of being gifted is also the performance you deliver. Like, does something show in the outside world? Do you get high marks on a test? Do you create unique things? And where is that, like in language or in math or in different areas? But to come from your innate talent to those performances, you need two things. You need things outside of yourself. We just talked about, you know, your peers and your parents and, you know, critical life experiences and stuff like that. And you need things within yourself. The intrapersonal traits that are not cognitive. So the non-cognitive personality trait. So it's all the traits that you have that do not have to do with your innate intelligence and ability. So this has to do, for instance, with perfectionism, your motivation to learn, your ability to deal with stress. So all these qualities that you have a huge impact on your ability to transform that innate ability to actual performance. And that's a learning process. But now, by the time you get to Heller and Gagnier's models, you have 32 interrelated factors that might or might not lead to gifted behavior. So it's not getting a lot clearer. And that's aside from the fact that 2, 3, maybe 4 of these factors are actually tested in an IQ test. So this, at least in my perspective, makes the concept of giftedness more and more wobbly, which does not mean I'm saying that there's no validity to it or there's no function to it, but still just having this clear idea of I know what giftedness is and I can say with 1,000,000% certainty who is gifted and who is not and what the cutoff point is, that is a challenging concept. If you liked this episode of Raising Happy and Thriving Kids, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast in your favorite podcast software. And if you want to dive deeply into all the things you can do to help your kids thrive, be happier while making your own life more enjoyable, go to smartparentingsecrets.com where you can get free additional training. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and as always, bring out the best in yourself and each other.